When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
T-minus 25 hours and counting between the Clash, Lowell Willingham and Chris Russell going after it in Windbag Wednesday, the genius himself behind the glass.
About 22 hours now.
About 22 hours, yeah. About 22 hours, man. Place would be going nuts. I think that it would have been great had he been available today to be, you know, with the idea of having another celebrity. Would he have shared the microphone with Orange? That would have been interesting. Since he's such a, you know, he's a got a what do you call him?
I think the bigger point and the funnier thing would have been, because Orange Cassidy had his sunglasses on.
Right.
You know, Linnell immediately would have pulled out two pairs of sunglasses.
Right.
In order to prove that he was the coolest cat in the room, he would have worn sunglasses over his sunglasses.
Who would have had to given up the two people with brands, two big brands at one time? Yeah, with Russell. That would have been, we'll never know now. That would have been interesting, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, here's what I'm going to have to deal with. You know, we do clean up on aisle three. I'm going to have to do clean up on aisle Linnell. He's going to bitch and moan that we had a studio, in-studio guest that he would have liked to have been a part of on Tuesday by design.
Right.
One.
With D&D, coffee, and drinks.
Has nothing to do with the schedule.
We had donuts and coffee, right? And not with him. Now, I'm sure he would say, well, I don't like donuts or whatever.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Thanks to our friend Heather.
Oh, Heather.
Who was so nice to bring in cookies for the entire staff.
She knocked it out the
park. I mean, she baked the cookies, chocolate chip cookies, put them in individual containers, labeled them, and said, oh, this is for you, Doc, and Linnell. And she said the YIC.
The YIC.
I mean, she listens
all
the time.
Which I thought was Toby.
Well, you thought it was Toby. I think Toby may have gotten screwed here. I'm not sure.
So, I think it was youngest in charge. He's the youngest in charge.
But she, I think, meant YIC as in Lionel.
I think Toby might have gotten some cookies with the Beamish and Finley batch.
Maybe.
Right.
I'm not sure.
All right.
But either way, there is a delivery waiting.
Yeah.
For Linnell tomorrow, because Heather made sure to label it for you, me, and Linnell, or the YIC.
Lowell.
Which, again, I presume means Linnell. Matt, so did you know this? We have to three-way share the cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Matt got his own tub.
Well, he says on the tub, always take care of the producers.
That's right.
I mean, how great
Heather
is
gets it?
Is Heather?
That's awesome.
I mean, it's just tremendous. Like, what else can I say? She asked me about a week ago or so, like, hey, you know, if we're, you know, if a food delivery was, you know, about to, you know, to be dropped off, you know, like what day would it work or whatever? And I suggested Tuesday. You can send her a thank you note because you should, because she took care of your boys. Mm-hmm. At Heather T 2021. At Heather T 2021. She was so nice. I walked down to get my bags because I had brought up the donuts and the coffee and whatever for Orange Cassidy and for the staff. And I didn't have enough room to, like, bring everything up. So I came back up from the garage the second time, and Danny Ruye is standing there with a big red bag, and Heather's with him. And I didn't know Heather, you know, in person. And he's like, oh, this is Heather. She's got cookies for you. And I was like, it took me a second to process it, but could not have been nicer. and so appreciative, and thank you to Danny as well for carrying it up because I had my hands full, but so thankful. And I, you know, listen, I wish she would have forgotten about Linnell, but maybe she did by referring to the YIC, and maybe that meant
that's
Toby.
I think it's Toby. Mm. But maybe. It would do be good for him if she did, because he doesn't need it.
Well, I don't. I mean, it's not like I need it, for God's sake.
Well, you're in much better condition than the whale.
You know,
is.
I don't know. Well, I don't know about that.
Don't you agree,
Doc? I haven't worked out in about 2 weeks. I mean, I walk a lot because I'm constantly going.
Don't you agree?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
No comment. I need to.
I'm just giving you one reporter's opinion.
Matt likes to bust Linnell's chops about everything, but he's not about to say that that I look better than Linnell. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate you.
What you talking about?
What you talking about, Willis?
I'm just trying to maintain impartiality.
For the first time in your life?
I am very impartial.
I don't know about that. Anyway, so I wanted to talk about the place-kicking situation just while it's on my mind. Zane Gonzalez was injured, again, plant foot, so he was unavailable. Should have when they signed Greg Joseph on Friday to the practice squad, some people, a number of people, like, just kind of shrugged their shoulders and said, no big deal. They're just, you know, just a precaution. And I thought immediately, oh, wait a second. Greg Joseph is going to be, like, probably the kicker. And I said, that spells worry for me, not disaster, because it's not like Zane Gonzalez is any great shakes either. But Zane Gonzalez was unable to kick on Sunday. Greg Joseph was. Greg Joseph basically missed a field goal at the end of the third quarter that should not have been snapped, and maybe that threw him off a little bit. And then luckily, by the referee's incompetence and Dan Quinn pointing out the obvious that the game clock had expired 5 seconds before Greg Joseph kicked, they were able to kick it again, and he missed and he made it. And that was for 41. Late in the game, with 2 minutes left to go, Doc, they lined up trying to take a 10-point lead from 54 away. Inside, indoors, Greg Joseph's got the leg, but he's never been consistent. And here's my question to you. I started the show talking about Atlanta and how horrible their special teams have been all year. And last night, Young Weku misses a very makeable, easy field goal, but yet they block two punts and block a field goal. And overall, you'd say, well, that's a great night for the special teams. A kicking across the board is horrible this year. I mean, there's like one good kicker, Chris Boswell, and that's about it. Maybe one other, but that's about it. Everyone else sucks. Would you, in the spot that Dan Quinn was in, 54 yards with the ball going back to New Orleans at the 44, if you miss, not the 37, which is what the old rule used to be. Now they give it to you at the spot of the kick. So at the 44, with 2 minutes left, only up seven, and an offense that has been resurgent, at least to some degree, in the second half. Granted, without Kamara, without Olave, without Taysom Hill, without the other guy, Shakir, or whatever his name is, Shahir, whatever. Would you have done what Dan Quinn did trying to get up 10, which is understandable? You're trying to make it a two-score game with 2 minutes left.
I don't think I would have had the confidence, but I did not see him in practice as he did. There was something that gave him confidence in that, and I would assume it were successful kicks at that distance or more in practice. Based on what I saw in the games, I would have went with my defense.
Well, so practice. He was signed here Friday. I assume he worked out on Friday and Saturday. Maybe he kicked both days. I'm not sure. I guess they had to see something, but I think logic would tell you, okay, unless he's got an injury or something, that you know Greg Joseph can kick a 54-yarder. That's never been, having a strong leg, having distance has never been a problem for him. It's everything else. And Like, a guy like that, if a dummy like me can say on Friday, hours after they signed him, and on Sunday with your buddy Linnell and Denton Day on the pregame show that I don't trust Greg Joseph, if the game comes down to a big kick, whatever, I'm very concerned, very worried,
right,
whatever.
You were on the pregame this week.
Right?
Yeah.
But I said all that in advance. If you missed a 41-yarder, granted, with the clock, wackadoo, terrible officiating. Does what you saw in practice Friday and or Saturday in a walkthrough matter more than what the history of the kicker is?
That's a question for the coach.
And what happened at the end of the third quarter?
That's a question for the coach.
Well, he answered it saying they're trying to get up by 10.
Yeah.
And two scores.
Which means he thought he could make it.
Which means they ignored the downside and only focused on the upside, which is what a lot. It's what Dan Campbell does all the time. When Dan Campbell goes for it on virtually every fourth down, including inside his own 25-yard line, he's like, well, we're trying to score. We're trying to hold on to the football. Mm-hmm. We're trying to not expose our defense.
Much better team. Been with him longer. Understood. More mature. Even with his 12 of his defensive players out, he's still doing it.
Understood. But I guess what I'm asking, the mentality, mm-hmm. right? To me, you have to kind of know, like, the way I look at it is whatever they saw in practice, whatever they saw in pregame, understand. I get what they were trying to do, but maybe this is a fatal flaw in my character. I've never trusted Greg Joseph as an NFL place kicker at all, period.
Okay.
I don't know how they did. Like, to me, in that spot, I've got a world-class punter who's been, here for 10-plus years. Coffin corner it. Ask him to help you win that game.
Yeah, I
not some dude who just got here on a one-way train ticket on Friday morning. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's how I would look at it, too, but there's got to be a reason that he did it. And, this league, as good as it is still controlled by about 8 to 9, 10 players. Kansas City has one. That big guy, 95, that puts his hand down.
Yeah.
See, you don't have nobody like that. This league is run by, like, a dozen guys.
Well, they don't have anybody like that.
Neither we do. So that's the thing. What we do, 1, 5.
On offense, but this would be like I think the scenario that you're talking about is if you have an assassin on defense Chris Jones,
we decided
you could then play maybe more aggressively defense with 2 minutes left and up 7.
When people make decisions on this league, I think they make it with a person in mind. When it comes down to this league, there's a half a dozen people, maybe a dozen, that control the flow. You don't have to be great. Nobody's great. Kansas City's not great. But they have three guys that are 90% effective in crunch.
Are you talking about Mahomes, Jones, and Harrison Butker?
Got four.
Oh, then Kelsey. Kelsey.
90%.
Yeah.
That you can count on them.
Yeah.
See, that's how the league separates you. Whenever I think, well, how good are we?
How many do the Commanders have, do you think?
You have a half.
I would say you have
you
have maybe one and a half.
Well, he's
total.
Dependent on the other. But the other
There's nobody on defense that I would trust. Even Lattimore at this point, because I
haven't seen him play for you.
Yeah. But Jaden, I would probably give like 3/4 of one.
You're a bad dude.
Because you're rookie.
That's all you got.
And Terry, I would probably give
Terry's
3/4.
No, Terry's a monster, but he's zero without the ball.
Okay, that's fair.
So I can shit him out.
All right.
You can't. He's dependent.
But I guess I would say one. If Kansas City has three or four, I have one and a half.
The one guy who's a receiver, Kelsey, you would think that everybody would be able to stop him on third. You would think.
Yeah,
they don't.
And they don't.
You would think 95. They don't. He makes 80% of the big plays in crunch. It's just like the Steelers. When you keep talking about bag, anybody that has a bag that doesn't do that means you got taken. Because this thing about it is so weird to me when people are trying to judge, well, what do we have? Well, this is a league of badasses. How many do you have? And if they are, they should never have to open their mouth. They play should tell you.
How many badasses do you have? How many badasses does this team have? Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to. You saw one guy's value.
Yeah.
He didn't play because he got sick, and your whole game changed. That's a badass. In his absence, you barely won against a team that's at mediocre.
That's fair.
So that's what I'm talking about. That's, to me, is value. This kid Lattimore, high value.
Yeah, he's
high value.
He's a potential
You
badass.
Waited on it. That was worth the wait. Right. If that's the influence he has on a game, well worth the wait.
So you would describe like in the way we're kind of talking about badass.
Like Philly, you know it off the top.
Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin,
yeah.
Tyler Biadasz,
yeah.
Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah.
So if we're counting all of them as badasses, is the Kansas City quartet more than badasses?
Well, they're super badasses. I mean, they're in a whole
they're
different
They're super badasses.
Super badasses.
So they're a different level than the quartet that you have.
Because they do it in bigger games. The key is that...
Why isn't Daron Payne a badass?
Well, either the system doesn't allow him to, or he doesn't allow himself to.
Well, I mean, they had a different system last year.
I don't know.
It was a system that he had 11 and a half sacks in the year before.
I'm saying this because I don't talk to their people. Yeah. I don't watch him. I just look at his games.
Right, but what I'm saying is, yeah. like you wouldn't define Daron Payne as a badass in any way, shape, or form. No, like
I like
Chris Jones.
I think 4 and 11, there's some guys that flash.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't have to go find you.
What you don't want is Luvu in coverage.
No, but that's not his trait.
Yeah.
But rushing.
I mean, he got abused on that trick play by Kamara.
Standard steal, I ain't got to find him.
Yeah.
He comes up big.
So is he a badass yet, or is he a dog?
No, he's a dog by nature.
Yeah.
The badass in training.
Okay, badass in training.
Because you ain't got to find him.
A bait.
He finds you.
Not a John Bates, but a bait.
He makes big plays.
Yeah.
Okay. It's something about you ain't got – they didn't want him to go out there. Dude, it don't matter. Put him in the game. Things happen. The other guys, you got to have a ceremony for them or certain things got to happen.
Mm-hmm.
This is not that complicated. We got some talent. We got dogs. We got guys giving you great effort, but we're not getting the results. And where's the result down? Third down. Third down.
Our guy at Boston DG says, I agree with Doc Walker. Play your game and just win. I mean,
we don't
know
what our game is. We're developing a game.
That is the most simplistic way to look at it.
But it's not that easy.
How would you describe what their game is right now?
Well, that's to the hands of the coordinator. That's when I say when you have a person that is creative. When I call him an artist, it's a compliment.
An artiste.
He's a compliment. He's an artiste.
Yeah.
Okay, and I say that's not my cup of tea. Mm. It don't mean that I'm right and he's wrong. He's obviously a super talent. Now, if that talent equates to winning, then I'm in his fan club. So far throughout his whole career, it's never really amounted to overall wins. He's just artistic. He's beautiful. He's got creative. He's all that. All I care about is do the team I'm cheering for win. I want to win the game. I don't give a damn about your style points. I want to simply win the game. That's what I'm waiting for him to prove to me.
All right, we'll put a lid on the Commanders conversation for today. When we come back, I want to ask Doc about what is going on at Penn State and what another head coach has weighed in on, and that is in the college football playoff system and the college football playoff era, why the bleep are we dealing with transfer portal at the same time and teams being compromised? Story we talked about yesterday during cleanup on aisle three. We'll get Doc's thoughts on it next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. We come down the stretch, final half an hour or so of the radio program. The DOC is in tow with us until 4 o'clock. Craig Hoffman at that point. Don't forget the Caps back in action tonight. We'll tackle that coming up in cleanup on aisle three. Doc, I wanted to spend a few minutes on this. Yesterday, we had the story of the Penn State backup quarterback entering the transfer portal, and James Franklin was like, I kind of feel bad for the kid. He's a compromised victim of the rules. Drew Aller announced that he was returning to Penn State next year, which surprised some people. And I thought it was, gosh, the week of a college football playoff game, right? Penn State is playing SMU. This Saturday? Saturday in Happy Valley, right? For the college football playoff, one and done. Well, now. And again, I thought that was incredibly unfair that these teams and the transfer portal is open so that these teams playing in the playoff could possibly lose a guy that they've spent all year developing, what have you, right before, never mind lose them off their roster. That's one thing after the season. Lose them right before a college football playoff game so that if something happens to Aller, now all of a sudden you have the third string quarterback playing in a one and done playoff game. Well, SMU head coach Rhett Lashley today suggested, again, that the December transfer portal window be eliminated. Mm-hmm. Players have to make decisions about whether to transfer or to play in the college football playoff. He said earlier today that the open transfer portal window is, quote, unquote, terrible. And again, this is all a result of Bo Prabula, the backup quarterback for Penn State, leaving again in the transfer portal. He said, quote, I feel so awful for our kids and kids around the country. There's no other sport at all that has free agency in the season. It's sad. It's terrible. You hear the story about the backup quarterback saying, I don't have a choice. That's wrong. That's unacceptable. That's not okay. He shouldn't have to make that decision. Well, let me ask you this. He's absolutely right that there is, as usual, these mind-numbing idiot leaders of the NFL, of college football, whoever's in charge, the presidents, make absolutely zero sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, they refuse to use common sense.
Yeah.
So he is right in that regard. But I guess what I would ask is, how similar is this in your eyes? I was thinking about this last night before I even saw these cuts. How similar is the transfer portal being open, granted, affecting playoff teams, to coaches being able to up and leave before their team plays in a bowl game? Meaning, for a better job, mm-hmm. coaches often leave during this period of time, and some stay around and coach the game. A lot don't. They move on for bigger jobs, right? Because that's the window that's available. So is this the same as that, or is this completely different? Because now we're dealing with an expanded playoff field, and 12 teams can be affected that are all playing for a national championship, and they're losing players. They won't lose a head coach in this scenario, but they'll lose key backup players in this scenario.
It's all new. It's all a mess. The NCAA itself is a mess and will continue to be, because it's just flat out amateur hour with adults. And there's really no losers, because the kids will get paid. Everybody can get paid and will make money. And I guess the kids will lose to some degree, those that aren't successful. But look at all the money that has been ciphered mm-hmm. to certain individuals, quote, the head of the bowl committees. They've been making a fortune for years. Remember, we used to discuss this as education was at hand. I just hope there's some way out, and I don't believe that there really is. You just hope that you stay healthy and that, I don't know, I don't even have a solution for it, because I don't think they want it solved. Somebody's continues to make a profit out of this. It's so, looks like it's blatant. They can't possibly be this dumb. So somebody's got to be making a hell of a profit out of this. What looks to be pilot error, can't be. It's impossible. You know that's wrong. I know that's wrong.
But to that, clearly they're making a lot of money from the college football playoff, but you're talking about from the transfer portal being open.
Why would you allow it to happen?
Yeah. I think it's because it's just pure idiocy. They probably never even thought about it. They're like, oh, yeah, well, wait a second. If a player is involved in the college football playoff, like this backup quarterback for Penn State, why would he transfer? Well, he's got to transfer because he sees other quarterbacks transferring and making it. Decisions, and then he's got to take choice 8 or 9 or 15 or whatever the number is.
Yeah.
So they never even thought about this. It's like the NFL. Oh, wait a second. You mean we have replay assist, replay review, that we can buzz down from New York or buzz down from wherever the hell they're coming from, but we can't review
a guy's
face
helmet,
masks.
His head almost gets spun around off his neck.
Why would we want a system that we actually Have.
And they're showing
and why
works.
Would we want to use it against calls that we would want to use it? Well, it's the same kind of thing in this particular case. Yeah, the transfer portal window, that's great. That's awesome. Except when you have, again, and I don't know if it exactly happened this way, but it was timed this way. This backup quarterback for Penn State announced transfer portal, meaning he can't play, on the same day that we find out that Aller, the starting quarterback, who's one of the better quarterbacks in the league and might be the best quarterback on paper going into next year, might be, I don't know, we find out that he's coming back. So maybe it wasn't in conjunction with each other, but it probably was. But the bottom line is, they never probably even thought, oh, wait a second. The transfer portal being open, it's going to fill up a bunch of spots because kids that are not playing in the playoff are going to be looking to get out. And all of a sudden, the kids that are in the playoffs are going to feel pressure. If I want to get out, I got to get out now. And they probably never even thought about that.
To clean up the letter of intent. They got high school kids.
Yeah. Well, sure.
They made it. I mean,
they got all these idiots in Grapevine, Texas, on the stupid committee. The only stupider committee that is your boy Linnell and his super six pack.
Yeah, they must be part time employees.
Right. But I don't care. But they're all sitting around going, this team SMU is better than Alabama and better than Miami because of a strength of victory, whatever. What are they doing? How about fixing what makes no sense at all?
What's their incentive to speed it up? Zero.
Their incentive should be common sense.
Well, but when that doesn't exist, even in serious matters that affect us that don't have anything to do with sports, how on earth would you be so demanding about sports?
I mean, I got to admit, I didn't think about this, but it's not my job to think about it.
Right.
It's their job to think about, transfer portal, college football playoff, what have you. Mm-hmm. All right. I wanted to get to that. Coming up, we have cleanup on aisle three. But first, a trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Doc, did you know that tonight is the battle for the NBA Cup Championship? Who would have known this?
Yes.
Unless you were paying attention.
Yes.
Doc Rivers, another Doc, and the Milwaukee Bucks are taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder. No, not in Milwaukee. No, not in Oklahoma City. But on a rando Tuesday night in Las Vegas at T-Mobile Arena for the right to be NBA Cup champions. That comes your way tonight. Tip off at 8:30 Eastern time. Meanwhile, before that, the NBA announcing that they are going to revamp their All-Star Tournament, which is scheduled for San Francisco this year. So the All-Star Game, again, is going to be a tournament with different teams, 4-team, 3-game, 1-night tournament, 3 teams, 8 All-Stars apiece, the 4th team being the winner of the Rising Stars Challenge, which is basically the rookie and the young sophomore games. They're all going to be trying to get to 40 points. It's going to happen on February 16th at the Chase Center in San Francisco. So no more East versus West in the annual NBA All-Star Game. We'll see if people like that. The Caps back on the ice tonight after a disappointing end to the 10-game road winning streak in Dallas last night. They'll visit the United Center and take on the Chicago Blackhawks and Connor Bedard, who come in at 10-19-2. They've already fired their head coach a couple of weeks ago. Caps 21-7-2 on the year. You can catch it on 106.7 The Fam and the Odyssey app. Meanwhile, here on the Team 980, following Craig Hoffman, we will have St. Francis at Maryland basketball beginning at 7 o'clock, and that's what's trending. All right, good to have you with us right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Final 20 minutes or so of the radio program. Where do you want me to go here? Line 2? Okay. Let's get to, here he is. Paulie and the 757. What up, Paulie?
Hell to the W, man. What's going on? Crock pot.
Yeah.
Rooster, what you cooking up, man? You know, you don't sound too happy to hear from me, man.
No, I'm happy to hear from you, Paulie. I just, you know, I'm preparing myself for a verbal assault from you. And if you agree with me, I'm pleasantly surprised. But I prepare myself. I like coil up a little
honestly,
bit, you know?
Honestly, I haven't really been listening to you enough to give you a verbal assault. I'm just being honest. You know, it's not even a dig at you. But I'm going to say this. This is more or less just a statement to how I'm feeling about our favorite football team right now. And I've been catching a lot of little flack and backlash from people. And I'm actually kind of glad I am, because it shows me that some of the passion for this organization is definitely back, man. Because a lot of people got a problem with me saying that we soft. We are, man. I've been watching football for a long time. I know a soft team when I see a soft team. We're a soft team, you know? And if we're going to be a soft team, then we need to be a high-executing team. And I'm particularly speaking about the offense. You know, we need to be a very high-executing team, and we are not. We're not. We don't execute on a high level, and it's been happening since the Bears game, all right? So we're a soft team, man. So until the offense, you know, either bear down, you know what I mean, and start playing with some fight and some gumption, or they just execute better, that's how it's going to be, man. It reminds me last year of the Dolphins. And I said it last year about the Dolphins.
What an insult.
They was a soft team. No,
you're right. I'm with you.
They was a soft team.
Yeah, you're right.
But they executed at a high level.
Right.
That's why they was able to score 70 points.
Right. It's a great analogy.
You know, we always seen them running up and down the field.
But Paulie, let me ask you a serious question though. When you say this team is a soft team, I understand, like, the soft things about Miami and fast and all that. When you say this team is a soft team, are they soft or are they just undermanned? And therefore, the flaws are showing up against better competition.
No. That's another excuse. We're a finesse team. I don't want to hear this undermanned. Don't tell me about the cap room we got next year and the draft picks we got next year. I don't want to hear that, man. It's about this year. We need to be in the moment. All right, you know what your talent level is, and you should be playing to what your talent level is. This is not about undermanned, man. Where are we undermanned at on offense, man? All right, we got a above average receiver. We definitely got an above average quarterback. We got an above average running back. We got a solid offensive line. You know what I mean? We put the sums of the parts together at tight ends. We got some decent positions, decent players at tight ends. This is about execution, and it's also about the scheme. You know, so if you're going to play a finesse style of football, you need to execute at a high level. We're making mental mistakes out there. You know, three missed deep balls, and the ball is in your hand, pause. That's mental mistakes. You know, overthrowing an open man, that's mental mistakes. You know, holding on the offensive line, that's mental mistakes. That's getting beat. This is not about being undermanned. This is about being in the moment. Know what your talent is and play to the strengths of your talent. If you feel that your talent is to have a wide open offense, by all means, be wide open. But don't be wishy-washy about it. Because when you're being wishy-washy about things, you're being finesse and you're being soft. And you're also not executing. So, they need to make their minds up, man. I don't want to hear about this talent level stuff, man. No team puts out 22 Pro Bowlers on the field. No team does it. Not even the best teams. I ain't trying to hear that, man. Like I said, we got three games left in the season. We need to get two of them. We not clicking. The offense is not clicking. They need to get in some type of rhythm. Whether it's you want to all of a sudden be a bombs away team or you want to bog it back down and be a running team, whatever you want to do, but they better get it together, you know, because they got three games to do it.
You know,
and as you see, it doesn't matter who we playing.
All right. I got you, Paulie. Listen, I'm actually intrigued by your accusation that they're a soft team. I might roll that back with the with Lionel tomorrow.
Think what he thinks about that.
Back.
I'll be listening. I'll chime in. I'll listen.
We'll give you your flowers.
I'm just telling people out there, man, calm down. It is what it is. That's the reality of it, man. I know it sounds bad for me to say it. It hurts my heart. I love this team, but we soft.
All right. There you go.
Soft.
Soft. Yeah, I know that reference. All right. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate you. Interesting. Matt, don't forget to remind me to do that tomorrow.
Texting the group chat right now.
Yeah, because I would think Lunell would have some crazy things to say about that. What do you think about? Are they soft or are they just undisciplined?
Well, soft is it's just an emotional way of stating that the finesse. I call it creativity. I told you he's creative.
Yeah.
We opened the show with this.
Yeah.
That's just one person's observance or opinion. Paulie and I see the game through the same lens.
You wouldn't be upset if Cliff Kingsbury went to, like, and got a head coaching job somewhere else, would you?
Not at all. Like, I'd be happy for anybody's success.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying for the impact on this team.
No, anybody that can further their career, further your career.
Right.
Further your career.
Separate aside.
Separate aside, yeah.
Would that hurt the Washington Commanders if Cliff Kingsbury was not the play calling the offensive coordinator next year?
Well, only if they don't want to win, because they're not winning to the point that I think they can win. If they win with him, you keep him. If you don't, why would you not want to always get better? It's styles. If you like his style, you keep him. Mm-hmm. If you don't, you upgrade.
Okay.
It's all about styles. It's the same thing if it's a fighter. If you like his style, then you stick with it. I think he's highly, what have I said, from day one, moment one, creativity, awesome. He's ahead of the game. The guy's brilliant in his category. I need that to equal wins. I'm not judging for a fashion show. I need W's. And I don't think he's got that mono-mono mindset, mono-e-mono mindset. I just don't think it's who he is.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that don't want what you want. I'm much more towards you than Paulie.
I don't need to be in a majority. I don't expect to be.
That's fine.
Most people have never competed or won in their life.
All right, you know what time it is? Right at 3:45, rather, and about 10 or 11 minutes left in the show. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask.
You don't care.
What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. All right, Doc, let's start with one of your favorite subjects, a New York football team.
Yeah, okay. Aaron Rodgers?
No. The Jets have announced that they've interviewed former Titans general manager John Robinson for their general manager job. Now, do you know that they're kind of conducting these interviews? Woody Johnson, the owner, he fired the head coach. He fired the general manager, right? John Robinson, again, they just announced they interviewed somebody else the other day. So Tannenbaum and Rick Spielman. Spielman was obviously involved in the process
here.
They
hired them as a committee, right?
Yeah, as an advisory kind of to run the search, if you will.
That's great.
To run the search. I mean, you know, maybe they can bring in Bruce Allen for an interview.
Good for him.
Maybe your guy, Ronald Eugene?
If I were him, I would apply. Why not?
Is there anybody, like, Adam Peters at this time last year was the belle of the ball, right? Everybody kind of, like, wanted him.
Yeah.
And the Commanders got him. The general manager position is one that is sometimes, I don't want to say held in anonymity, because that's probably not fair, but overlooked, I think. The head coach gets a lot of the criticism or praise. If you were running an NFL franchise, would you say that the general manager who brings in the talent, presumably, or the head coach is a more important hire?
My hierarchy would always be the GM.
GM.
Because he would be with me until we end it together.
Yeah.
Everybody else is disposable.
Yeah.
If they don't win, they're gone. But the GM, we'd be in there ride or die. Because we have to be on the same page about everything. But I would not interfere with my head coach in developing his team. That's his. If I choose you, you choose your people.
Am I wrong, though, for saying that the general manager is oftentimes more important than the head coach? Just if you look side by side.
With the exception of game day, you're right.
Yeah.
On game day, it's the HC.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's one day a week, so it's like the mother of the father.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the mother carries, delivers, produces. So I just think that because with Beathard, what I saw with owner, with Cook, Beathard, Gibbs. So going through seeing that whole process, only going was very clear. Bobby, day and night, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
Because you're shopping for it, then turning it over to a chef. Now, whether or not the chef is a master chef, that's on him.
Yeah.
But if I give you the right product and you created this on you, it's got to – I tell you what doesn't work. Look in Chicago. Look at New York with the Jets. Sorry. Just look at the Pacers that are wrecks. Look at a guy in Denver. Look what Denver was and look what it is now. It was a clown show. They hired a guy recommended by a quarterback. And look how much destruction that quarterback has done. And look how Green Bay is lifted up and moved beyond by getting rid of his ass. Yeah,
remember when everybody was furious at Sean Payton last year?
Oh, yeah.
And you know, basically I said, hey, you know, it was the general manager that did a lot of this. Well, now the general manager has helped fix some of it. And Sean Payton's getting all the credit for Bo Nix and the turnaround for the Denver Broncos. But, you know, the general manager, George Payton, deserves some of the credit,
too. Yeah, and picking the quarterback and knowing what to look for.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
But you give a man an office. Who's the nitwit that gave a player a private office and private interest and all that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Real quickly, the Capitals had their 10-game road winning streak snapped last night.
That was painful.
Yeah, 3-1 loss to the Dallas Stars. Mm-hmm. Certainly understandable. Tonight, they're right back at it against the Chicago Blackhawks. And while nothing is by any means a must win, you'd kind of like to get at least a point tonight. And probably
the Hawks aren't
two.
As good, but defensively, we should have a better shot.
They're 10-19-2.
Yeah.
They're not good, period. Now, they played a little bit better.
Last night was interesting, though.
They played a little bit better since they made a coaching change. They beat the Islanders. A lot of teams are beating the Islanders these days, 5-3. They did lose to the Islanders the previous matchup. They lost to New Jersey, but they also beat the Rangers. So they've been dealing with this, you know, this tri-state area tango. In their last four games, they're 2-2. So they are playing a little bit better. Connor Bedard, the number one overall pick last year, was struggling, playing a little bit better. So, again, this is still a game that if even without Ovechkin, the Capitals, I don't want to say have to win, should win.
Need let's this one, though. Way. It's important. Keep
let's
momentum.
Put it that way.
Yeah.
And finally, the NBA Cup Championship is tonight between Milwaukee and Oklahoma City. How excited are you?
I mean, it beats a regular season NBA game.
It does.
So, you know, I kind of like the color courts. And if I get a chance to see Doc in the game, I mean, it's the NBA. What can I ask for? A year ago, you know, Lakers and the best team in the world, Celtics, are not in it. There's something to be said about that when the best team in the world has not been in this 2 years in a row now. Maybe some other teams are trying, and we're paying attention. I watch Houston. I'm watching teams. I go, oh, okay. So give the NBA a credit.
Get a little Flavor Flav in the middle of December.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, not bad.
That does it for cleanup on aisle three.
Cleanup in aisle three.
I finally didn't step all over her. Coming up next, a crocodile left to die in Alaska? Over what? We'll explain next. I knew this was going to be the rejoin. Yeah, you know it. You know this tune, baby. Little crocodile rock. You know what time it is also.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
All right, Dateline Anchorage, Alaska. A pet crocodile, unfortunately, has died because it was thrown out in the snow. And two brothers are now facing charges after getting into a violent fight that involved both of their respective pet alligators, according to Alaska State Troopers. 33-year-old Tyler Lowe, 30-year-old Ricky Lowe, taken into custody, charged with animal cruelty and assault. They had a fight, and it wasn't just a fight. It was an argument regarding anime.
What?
Yes! And Tyler allegedly tossed his younger brother's pet alligator out the apartment into the snow, which then prompted Ricky, the younger brother, to do the same to Tyler's pet crocodile. Thank you for accusing me of losing my mind. Ricky and his two-year-old child then left. Ricky was driving while intoxicated after leaving the apartment. Ricky's alligator pulled through, but Tyler's crocodile did not. When police arrived on the scene, a next-door neighbor said multiple state troopers were there, missing reptiles. They couldn't find it. They were shocked. They said they couldn't find the exotic animals at any point in the night. They lived next door for a month. They even knew they were there. And then ultimately they found one of the crocodiles, and they suspect it died from cold exposure. And that, my friends, is how you completely destroy your lives and live up to being selected as Dum Dums of the Day.
Congratulations.
I wish you were Chris's joking, but
Dum
you're not.
Dum Dum of the Day.
I am not. Thanks to Orange Cassidy. Thanks to Adam from All Elite Wrestling, Adam Hopkins, for bringing Orange in here. If you missed that, again, it's on the podcast, on the Odyssey app, and or the Team980.com. Doc, thank you.
Thank you, Russ.
Appreciate
Genius.
It.
Genius.
See you next week. The DOC, always in tow. Thanks to Matty Ice. I'll need it.
You damn
Craig
sure
Hoffman
will.
Coming up next. Have a great Tuesday.